this year's project was supposed to knock off all the Yom Tovim. So it's very apropos to talk about Yom Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur the next couple of weeks. How in the world am I going to sell that? We're going to talk about Ochos Sukkos in December, I'm not sure. And we're talking about Purim in June, but we'll figure out. We'll figure out next how to do it. But at least for now, we're in sync with the Jewish calendar. So let's see if we can begin a little bit. Already falls into a little bit of the category of Inyan HaYoma. So we'll try to talk a little bit overview of the Mitzvah HaYoma of Rosh Hashanah. And we'll try to roll into Yom Kippur at some point in the next couple of weeks as well. Sukkos, I cannot assure you we'll have time for it till after Sukkos. So we speak about the Mitzvah Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, the most basic, most fundamental Mitzvah HaYoma is, of course, the Mitzvah Tekiah Shofar. Tekiah Shofar is the Mitzvah Deraisa. It appears in two places in Chumash, Yom Truy Alechem Zichron Truy Mikra Kodesh. So there's a chiyuv gam min haTorah for a person to be involved in that mitzvah of Yom Truy Alechem. Notice I'm counting my words very, very carefully. I didn't even say the mitzvah to hear the shofar, I didn't say the mitzvah to blow the shofar, I didn't say how many times, I just said to fulfill that mitzvah derais of Yom Truy Alechem. So I want to try to start off with just getting a little bit of some clarity, a little bit of better understanding. How in the world we got from the pasuk of Yom Truy Elochem, Zichron Truy Mikakodesh, how do we get to how many kailas that we blow today in Shul? We blow a lot of times above and beyond, no pun intended, the call of duty on Rosh Hashanah. Some of the kailas that we blow are deraisa, some of the kailas that we blow are derabanan, some of the kailas that we blow are minhagim, some of the kailas people blow afterwards are chumras. But let's try to see, get a little bit of a better understanding how we got to where we are. So the Gemara comments at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that there are actually three different psukim that speak about the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar. Two of them appear by Rosh Hashanah, one of them appears by Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, about the Shofar Trua. And we have a tradition, we have a Maseir, Halacha Moshe Sinai, that these three psukim are actually supposed to be understood really as a package deal. That whatever you have to do on Rosh Hashanah, you have to do on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel and vice versa. And since the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of Shofar three times, and it uses the word Truah three times, this teaches us that there's a din min haTorah that you have to hear or blow, whatever you think the mitzvah is, you have to have three different Truahs. So the sound Truah, whatever that halachic sound Truah is, to be determined in a moment, but that halachic Truah has to be sounded three times during the course of the day on Rosh Hashanah. So shtei Yom Truy Alechem Zichron Truy B'Kodesh V'Vayta Shofar Truy. And again, even though that pasuk is literally Pshuta Shemikra about Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, but the Teshuva Pet lumps the three into one. So three truas have to be sounded. Then there's another din that the Gemara derives from Sukkim. Now, whenever you have a truah has to be preceded by a tekiah, and it has to be followed by a tekiah. How do you know that? Because it says it also, Vavarta shofar truah, and it says, Taviru shofar b'chol ha'atzuchem. So the word shofar, in contrast to truah, havar shofar means a kol poshut, means a weak wall, colloquially a tekiah. So every truah has to be surrounded, has to be sandwiched between a tekiah at the beginning and a tekiah at the end. So for those who are very high advanced in math, so if you have three times you have to have truahs, and every truah is surrounded by two tekiahs, so you have three times three, and the sacha kol hakol mikol kol min haTorah, all you have to hear on Rosh Hashanah is nine kailos. That's it. So the mitzvah deraisa of Tekiah Shofar should take its following amount of time. So the entire mitzvah should take less than 1 minute. That's what the mitzvah deraisa of Tekiah Shofar is. Three truas surrounded by each one by tekiahs. Even though the Gemara at the end of Maseches Hashanah has another possible mokor for some of these drushes, this probably falls into the category that the Rambam writes in his introduction to Bereish Mishnayos, that very often we have things that are part of our Maseirah that are Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, and the Torah gives sources for them in the Chumash itself. There are some Halacha Moshe B'Sinais that have no context in Torah Shebichsav Bechlau. Then there are other Halacha Moshe B'Sinais that the Rambam actually uses a different term for, that also are Misinai, but they're a psukim, that are Merames, they're a psukim that we can reconstruct, so to speak, the Maseirah, if we know how to do it properly. So whenever the Gemara has like a din that's clearly an Ish B'Pishan Moshe Rabbeinu, clearly they've been blowing shofar for quite some time, and clearly Ayat HaChazayin means Mamun, and clearly Merachos HaShabbos means not Sunday. So you have a lot of these dinim that we know to be true because Kach Nemar Alach Moshe Sinai Ish B'Pishan Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Gemara will still show us psukim to highlight this, the psukim that can actually reconstruct these pre-existing dinim of the Maseirah. So Tekiah Shofar is probably one of those categories that this is a greeting. Everybody agrees this is the basic tzura of Tekiah Shofar. How we got there, the drushes that I gave you, or maybe there's another drasha, perhaps some chatzitzos, whatever the details are, and not so important for us in terms of Pesach HaLocha. The bottom line is this is the mitzvah d'oraisa. So you're probably wondering, if this is the mitzvah deraisa, so how come tkiyas shofar takes so long? So one of the reasons why tkiyas shofar takes so long is because the Gemara has an observation in the fourth parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that we are not precisely certain what exactly the sound trua is supposed to sound like. The Gemara actually has three different possibilities what a trua could mean. The common denominator is that they're all broken sounds. They're all in contrast to a tkiyah, but the Gemara has three different traditions what a trua may be. So one possibility is it's what we call a trua, which means very, very quick, short, broken sounds. Although there is a machlekes rishon, and whether it's three of those quick sounds, like that's a trua, or nine. So there are two different opinions in rishon about that. But the common denominator is that it's a very, very quick, short, to the point broken sound. Then the Gemara quotes another possibility for the word trua, what we colloquially today call a shvarim, which means slightly longer. I'm kind of trying to measure my words very carefully, maybe better than I measure my shvarims, but we try to measure our words. That shvarim means a little bit longer than trua is. So it's not but it's a do, something along those lines. According to many rishonim, it's three in contrast to nine. Truas are nine short ones, shvarim are three are longer ones. That's what most people in Klai Yisrael today practice. So the idea being that truas and shvarim are slightly different, slightly nuanced, similar in the fact that they're both broken kedus and they're clearly not tkiyas, but they are slightly different from one another. Then the Gemara has another possibility, that maybe it's a combination of the two. Maybe it's a shvarim which leads directly into a trua. The other way around, the Gemara says, is not an option, but shvarim trua is the third possibility on the table. Where did all this come from? Why is this such a latest asophic? What in the world, when you just look up in the dictionary what the word trua means? So we did look up in the dictionary. We looked up in the Targum. The Targum says, Yom Yevavi Helechain, to be a day of crying, Yevava. So the word trua is synonymous with a wailing, a crying kind of a sound. So Gemara says different people cry in different ways. Some people cry with some people cry and some people start off with a and then they see they're not getting anywhere, so then they continue into a breakdown into a. So again, you can test this with if you have little children at home or your younger siblings, you can test this and see that this is in fact the case, that there are different nuances, different ways that people cry. So Gemara says that in the days of the Tanoim there were already different traditions to this effect. And the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba was an Amora, an early generation of Amorim in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Abba lived in the city of Caesarea, Kisri. What was he doing in the city of Caesarea? Caesarea was not exactly a very thriving Torah-dic city. It was actually the Roman government seat in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So one of the women was Rabbi Abba living there. So the answer was because he was the representative of the Roman government. The Gemara tells us in the Sefer Ketubos that he was the one who would intercede for the Jewish people with the Roman authority. So it's like, I guess you work in Washington, so you live in Silver Spring. So he lived in Caesarea. So he lived in Yerushalayim and have to travel every day on the bus, take a long time to get to work. So he lived in Caesarea. So there was a Jewish community in Caesarea, but again, it wasn't like the heart and soul of Klai Yisrael at the time, but there was a Jewish community in Caesarea. And Rabbi Abba made a special takana in the city of Caesarea. What was this takana that he made? That he saw that this is ridiculous, that half the shuls are blowing one way, other shuls are blowing another way, it's getting out of hand. So his kid, Rabbi Abba, but Kisri, that we should blow all of the above. So Rabbi Abba, in one fell swoop, just made Kisri over three times as long. So he said that we want to make sure we cover ourselves on all bases, and therefore we're going to blow what we call today Tekiya Shvarm Trua Tekiya. We're going to blow Tekiya Shvarm Tekiya. We'll go to Kiya, true to Kiya, and that way, at the end of those Kailas, we know that we've been Yaitse. So each one of those Kiya, Shvarim, Truas, Kiyas, etc., we have to blow three times, because that's the Dimin HaTorah. And since we're Mesupak with the true is, so Mamela, we end up with this longer version of Tekiya Shvarim. That was the institution, that was the contribution of Rabbi Abba to Asugya. A couple of years ago, they were taking the boys from Entes Waikol on a trip, and one of the sites was to go see the old city of Caesarea. So they asked me whether I wanted to go along to give a share about the significance of Caesarea. So I asked them what's on the agenda to see. So they said, we're going to look at the Roman theaters and the Roman, all the nonsense there. So I said, what do you want me to say? This is all awesome. Now I go to any of these places. So that was, I said, if you want me to come to the shul in Caesarea and give a share about the Kishofer, about the Machlekes Rishon, and what the Takana of Rabbi Abba was, I'll be happy to go along. And I didn't think that would catch the attention of the boys in July, so they went and go looked at all the silly circuses. Okay, anyway, back to that story. So there is a major machlekes rishonim. What exactly was the contribution of Rabbi Abba? What exactly was he misaking? So there is a Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that quotes from Rav Haigon, who was bothered with a very, very difficult problem, a halachic/historical problem. You know, we are We're very familiar with the concept of machlokes in halacha. Not the first, not the last machlokes we have. But if you think about it, most of machlokes in halacha are kind of about things that don't happen all the time. You know, you have something that happens all the time. It's such a common thing. You know, so this, I'm talking about machlokes in Bizman HaZeh. I'm talking like in the days of the Tanoim, the Amoraim. So you have machlokes about things that are kind of ordinary, out of the ordinary. You know, like those not Yevamos. There was a raging machlokes to Bishan and Bishil about the Tzoras Abbas. You know, okay, two guys are married. One gets married to the other guy. This is the daughter and his husband dies without the children. Is the Yibma not? So the Tanoim were fighting and killing and yelling and screaming for hundreds of years about Tzoras Abbas. I mean, B'nai, it didn't happen every day. So, you know, I got to understand this machlokes. But when you have something that happens day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out, like, what did machlokes? Well, whatever you did last year, so you do again. So there's a famous story. I don't know if it was a joke or legend. I'm not sure what it was, but about a certain shul that they couldn't get their act together, or whether they're going to say halal and yom atzmon or not. So they went to a rav to try to be machria. So we asked them, what's the minhag in the shul? What did you do last year? So he said, last year we fought. And what did you do the year before? He said, we fought the year before. So he said, because your minhag is to fight every year. So that's your minhag. So follow your minhag. You shouldn't change your minhag. So comes Rav Haigon and said, that was not a Yom HaTzmut part of it. That was not the idea. That was just has nothing to do with any, there was no political overtones or undertones of that story. Just the way the story was said. Okay. So comes Rav Haigon and says, he says, I don't understand. He said, no one kept the shul last year. Last year was COVID. No one kept it. No one remembers what was going on this year. But last year we had Rosh Hashanah. The year before we had Rosh Hashanah. The year before we had Rosh Hashanah. Every year was Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shavs. We never blew shofar. We blew long shofar. Nobody remembers. What does it say in the Max? And nobody remembers that we blew shofar last year. Did none of the Baltikas could remember? Did we blow do do do? Or did we blow do 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 do? Did we blow do 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 do? So how are you talking? Where did this machlokes come from? It's out of the middle of nowhere. It's such a common thing every year we blow shofar. It's such a basic ABCs. How could there be three shittas in Tanoim all of a sudden? Baruch Habu, what happened the year before? So Rav Haigon says, Mikarech Dai Kosha, he says that he thinks that we misunderstood what Rabbi Abel's Takana was. And he thinks, quite frankly, we misunderstood the entire sugya in the end of the fourth Becham Rosh Hashanah. Rav Haigon says that the dimidar min haTorah is that it has to be a yavava. It's got to be yom yavav yehi l'chayin. It's got to be a day of crying. It's got to be a day of a broken call. The halachic definition of a broken call means exactly as such, a broken call. It's got to be something that resembles crying. What kind of crying? You want to cry like that because of day, cry like that. You want to cry like that because of day, right? Min haTorah, v'yes mei shraveinu, all the above are acceptable. This is good, do-do-do is good, do-do-do-do-do is good, and do-do-do-do-do-do-do is good. They're all good. Because min haTorah, any broken sound that gives some kind of a resemblance of shape or form of crying is a deraisa de ketruah. Now, lemais, it happened that there were different communities that had different minhagim. That's okay. We have no problems. We have this all the time in halacha. Let's say lemoshel. So you have, Torah says that schach has certain halachas that govern schach. So schach has to be gedula in karka, it's got to be enim kabotuma, enim chuba karka, etc. You can have five different sukkahs that look radically different from one another. One's got bamboo poles, one got bamboo mats, one's got evergreens on it, one's got branches on it, one's got leaves on it. What, the four of the five apostles? No, they're all kosher. It is so radically different from one another. It doesn't matter. The halachic ingredients, the halachic requirements are gedula min hakarka, and mechuba karka, and mekabel tumah. That's it. You want to do it culturally because for you, you have access to bamboo mats because of that. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have bamboo mats. I always tell over the story that the first year when I was a little boy, so the first year that we bought the bamboo poles, so it was like a big innovation. You know, nobody had bamboo. Everyone had, you know, leaves and branches. So one year finally bought bamboo. So my grandmother left shop. She walks into the sukkah. The first time the sukkah is, she looks up and she asks my father, where's the schach? So where's the schach? There's the schach. It's nonsense. She grew up in Eastern Europe, in Poland. They didn't carry bamboo. They didn't make bamboo from China to Eastern Europe. So she grew up as a little girl. Bamboo, schach meant branches and leaves. It had a little green. That green is Mishkin schach. So that's not true. The Mechilis called my grandma. That's not true. The din is it doesn't have to be green. It doesn't have to look like you're traveling in the desert. It could look like you're living in China. It doesn't have to. There is no halacha in terms of the color of the schach. But there are dinim that govern what the schach has to look like. So the fact that in some communities you build a schach hazoi, in other communities, it's not a stira. When you make matzahs, there's no halacha mashti there. Matzah has to be square, it's going to be round, it's going to be triangle, it's going to be a pentagon. It doesn't matter what the shape of the matzah is. But it's got to be chameshes b'nei dogon with water, less than 18 minutes. Those are the dinim that govern uchus matzah. So a lot of times you have, like if you walk into some shuls, you know, you go to the coast, you see some guys, temanim, they're wearing these little tiny, tiny tefillin. You see Chabad guys wearing a tefillin, you know, takes up his whole head. And we're somewhere in the middle. So they're all kosher. I mean, they're all, it has dalat parshas, it's got dalat batim, and it's got ritzuas and insurance. You're good to go. You have a tefillin. So you have this in Shemiras HaMitzvahs where you have to be careful to differentiate what's almost in a sense like the cultural, you know, what's just the logistical, you know, technical way that people are performing mitzvahs, and which are the parts of the Chavetz Shem mitzvah that are mamash li'ikuva. So over here, Rav Hagelin claims that the particular sounds of the truah are not li'ikuva, they're all kosher. So if that's the case, Rav Hagelin Mecher went too far, so why did Rabbi Yehuda make a takana for? If they're all kosher, so let everybody continue to do what they're doing. So Rav Hagelin was smarter, Rabbi Yehuda was smarter than all of us. Rav Hagelin says that, no, Hagel puts words into Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Rabbi Yehuda was worried about the following. Not everybody is part of this, this, how many years is this program, by the way? 6 years? Not everyone's part of this 4-year halacha maaseh program. So not everybody learns Rav Hagelin. So some people are going to think that, no, the way I heard Kishayfer as a kid, that's the only way to do it. Those guys, they don't know what they're doing. They're shlekedin. So you're going to fight, it's going to break out of Rosh Hashanah. Guy's going to come to Rosh Hashanah to another shul. And he's going to say, the Baltikei is going to get up and it's going to blow Tkiyah Shvarm Tkiyahs. So Minat Torah is Yoytzei. There's no Shadah whatsoever is Yoytzei. But the Amoritz who hears it doesn't think that. He thinks, wait a second, when I was a kid, we used to blow Truas. And the other guy screams in Yeshivas, we blew Shvarm Truas. And this guy says, Nusuch Sfarad blows Azoyda. The whole fight's going to break out. So the Abo made a Takona not to make sure that everyone's Yoytzei Tkiyah Shayfer. Everyone's Yoytzei Tkiyah Shayfer with or without the Takona. Rabbi Yavol made a takana that people shouldn't fight. Nobody should mistakenly think they weren't Yetzir Tkiyah. But the real goal of all the extra tkiyas that we do, all the extra keras, all the multiple tashrats, the shatarats, once we heard that first set, we're good to go. In a Torah, you can go to sleep. The rest is all just to make sure the shalom in the world. That's Rav Hagelin's razzle-dazzle approach to the entire city. So notwithstanding, Rav Hagelin says, the Rambam doesn't say that. And Tosfos doesn't seem to say that at all. The Rambam in Perek Dalet Hilchos Shofar, when he presents this dilemma of Rabbi Abo as to why in the world we're blowing so much wood than the Torah itself mandates, so the Rambam introduces by giving you a history lesson. The Rambam says, there were so many tzaros in Klal Yisrael, so many goals in Klal Yisrael, that people partially forgot what a truah sounds like. How did that happen? So Rav Hagelin was assuming that everyone was blowing shofar every year. The answer is it's not true. There were times in Jewish history we were partially, maybe Yechidei Segula were blowing, but the Hamon Amor isn't hearing shofar. How do we know that to be a fact? Because the Mishnah talks about it, there's a whole sugya in the Mishnah and the Gemara about blowing shofar into a pit and blowing shofar to a barrel. You ever wonder that Tanoim had nothing better to do with their time than to speak about guys blowing into barrels, guys blowing into caves? Why can't you come to shul? What do you have to go to the cave for? So the answer is because these Mishnayos were written b'shas ha-gezeiros. We know that there were gezeiros against Klal Yisrael, against blowing shofar. We know that the Goyim didn't like the Jews blowing shofar for a simple reason. Because blowing shofar in the ancient world was always a call to arms. It was called a revolution. So they didn't like that idea that all the Jews are gathering together in the shuls and they're blowing the dum-da-dum-da-dum. They thought they're going to rebel against the Caesars. So the Romans put a stop to the Tkiyah Shofar. So there were years and years and years where you had a few people, the Maaseh Nefesh, would go into the caves. They would go put their heads inside barrels. They'd go into the cellars. They'd go the KGB for 70 years. So they weren't letting the Jews keep mitzvahs. So what happened after 70 years? Nobody knows anything. No one remembers how to do mitzvahs anymore. So the Rambam says that there was a historical reality on the ground, that it was hard to blow shofar at different times. And that's why, Taka, we haven't heard shofar in shul in 20 years. So we can't remember what happened 20 years before. It's this same idea that historically there were times when people, the Hamona, maybe wasn't even hearing shofar properly. This is the reason why we blow shofar in Musaf. The Gemara says in the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah that we really should blow shofar in Shacharis. Like we say, Hallel is the reason we give mitzvahs. Why are we blading till 2 o'clock in the afternoon to blow shofar? We should blow it 8 o'clock in the morning. So the Gemara explains that in the olden days, the Romans made gezeiros against blowing shofar. So the Jews would come to shul on Rosh Hashanah. So the Roman spies would be standing in the back of the shul, ready to arrest anybody who would take out a shofar to blow by Shacharis. So the Gemara says the Chazal said it was too dangerous. So we'll wait. So we'll wait for Shacharis to end. We put up a good Bal Shacharis who davens, kvetches out a good gezunta chazos hashatz, with a lot of piyutim, so the Romans are getting bored. And then get Kriyas HaTorah, and then the rabbi gets up and gives a knockout drasha, and he speaks, and then the chazan gets up and says, Hinni for an hour and a half. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The Romans are starved. They said, they figured that the Jews are also starved. They said, who's going to stay in shul anymore? They already see Davin, still Shman Esri for an hour and a half. By the time you get, so finally they realize, the Jews are smart. They stop blowing shofar this year. So the Romans would leave. They go make Kiddush. And then the Romans would go out and make Kiddush. Then they would quickly blow shofar and shul. So we, Bezman Hazeh, Baruch Hashem, we don't have that problem anymore. But the Minigab Tzeni Biyadeinu, we still blow shofar ben Musaf because of that concern. So you see that there were times when Kishofar was under a lot of attack. So it's not inconceivable, says the Rambam, that they Taka forgot what the Shvam, what the Tru is supposed to sound like. So whether you go down the root of Rav Haigon or the root of the Rambam, you end up in the same place. The bottom line is that when Mechuyev, either because they're suffering their Isa, like the Rambam says, or because it's the Chanas Acham of Rav Ebo, at the end of the day, we must do the following, say it HaDvarim. We must take out a shofar, blow a tekiah, blow a shvarim truah, blow a tekiah, do that three times. We have to take a tekiah, shvarim tekiahs three times, tekiah truah tekiah three times. And at that point, we are good to go. At that point, we are done, we are finished. There's not even a latest sophic that we have been yet to yet. I always find it very, very humorous. I can't break out in laughter at that time in davening. It's not rabbinic, but I always find it very, very humorous that the words, first words out of our mouth, after we finish blowing, alat truos and meislach, we blow so much because we have no idea what we're blowing. We want to make sure we're covering all bases. What are the first words out of our mouth? We pat ourselves on the back. Ashrei ha'am. Happy are the people who know what a true is. You know what a true is. You don't know a thing. That's why you just wasted the last 20 minutes blowing shofar. You have no clue what a true is. So we're trying to make ourselves feel good. Okay. Hashem b'vnechad HaKadosh Baruch should help us walk the path, right? Okay. So good. So we're done. So put the shofar down and daven musaf. And shofar kedik already. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. All of a sudden, you get there before. If you're Nesach you got to wait till Chazos HaShatz. All of a sudden, Baruch Habu, we come to Melech HaKol HaOvretz Mekadir V'yam HaZikaron. All of a sudden, the shofar's coming back. Where's the shofar coming back from? So I heard it already. I heard blow the shofar already. So here the Mishnayos tell us in the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, there's another halacha that when you blow shofar, you have to blow shofar El Seidah Brachos. That each of the brachos, each of the special brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei for Musaf, the Malchias, the Shemoneh Esrei and the Shofars, have to be recited in the context of Tekiah Shofar. So all of a sudden we're blowing shofar Nochamo. We're blowing again Kiyas for Malchias, then we're blowing again for Zichronis, we're blowing Nochamo for Shofars. All of a sudden, all over again, we're starting all over again. So there is a big question that the Rishonim raise. How is that second set of tekiahs supposed to sound? This new din, we don't even know where it comes from. The Raisa, the Rabbana, we have no clue why we're doing it, but the Mishnayos talk about it. So we're blowing our Seidah Brachas, and we're trying to figure out what exactly should we blow our Seidah Brachas. So it doesn't take that much advanced math, knowledge to realize, well, we have three brachas, and we're supposed to blow three truas. So it would make a lot of sense that we should blow one trua, get every trua surrounded by tekiahs. So we should blow one halachic trua, whatever that halachic trua is, from Malchias. We should blow one halachic trua for Zichronis. We should blow one halachic trua for shofars. That would make a lot of sense. It's exactly what the Mishnah says. That's what you do. So the camera of Tekeah, the camera of Tekeah, the camera of Tekeah, and we're good to go. What's the problem, Rabbi Say? We don't know what that trua is. Either we really don't know, or we're making believe we don't know. So we don't know what that halachic trua is. So now we're mamash mamash in a pickle. So if I would ask you, you were writing a machzor on your own, and you were trying to figure out what would be the most intelligent way to blow these tekiahs al Seidah Brachos. The Mishnah says you have to blow Seidah Brachos, and we don't know when the world the trua is. So I would say like this: when you get to the end of the bracha malchus, what should you blow? You should blow what? You should blow tekiah shvarim trua tekiah, and just to be on the safe side, you should blow Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah. That to be at the super duper safe side, you should blow Tekiah Truah Tekiah. And you should repeat that by Zichronos, and repeat that by Shofars. That would make the most sense to do. So strangely enough, even though that would make the most sense to do, that does not appear to have been done in the days, most of the Rishon. Most of the Rishon did not blow Shofar that way, I'll say that brachas. What did they do? So there was an old tradition that was practiced in Bavel, that is quoted back from the yeshivas of Bavel, that they had the practice to do as follows. They would blow by Malchias, at the end of Malchias, Melech HaKadosh B'Kadosh B'Yom HaZikaron. About Tekiah, we get up and we blow. Tekiah, Shvarim Truah, Tekiah. And we sit down. Then the Chaz would continue after Zoicher, I don't know. Zoicher, Habris. He would take out the shofar again and blow Tekiah. And what the next one is? Shvarim, Tekiah. Then he go back. The Chaz would go back to davening after the Gleisa. The Ram Shabbat Kol Tirasim Israel. The Rachamim. Amen. And what would happen? Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah. That was the Minig Ha'olam in Bavel. The Yeshivas, the Heilig Yeshivas, the Surim Pruz Bedis, the Shtei Yeshivas. The Rishonim quote. That was the Minig they used to blow like that. So all the way to Rishonim quote this Minig and say the Chaz Minig doesn't make any sense. It's an internally contradictory minhag. Why is it internally contradictory? It can't all be right. So it doesn't make any sense. So the chora you have to do for each one, the tashrat, tashat, tarat. You can't split and say, I'll blow one way, one way. The chora, it's a steer minhag bay. So in our heart and soul, where do we think this minhag really is based on? What do you think this minhag is really truly based on? Probably makes a lot of sense according to which shita? Of Haigon, because going to Haigon, they're really all good anyway. It's just a question to make people happy. So now we have like a communal issue. We want to make people happy. The goal is people shouldn't fight. So people, you know, we made everybody happy already before. Everybody felt, it doesn't show up like in the Altaheim. But now people are hungry. People want to get out of sugar. They're tired. So we want to make everybody a little bit happy, but not too happy, because make people too happy, Dav is going to go too long. So therefore, we should have Tzibor, we're going to shave away a little bit. And anyway, we know in our back pocket, what? We know in our back pocket what? That we get to anyway, because any of the three kolos are really good. That's the simplest shot in the minhag ha'goyim. The problem is the Rambam quotes the minhag ha'goyim, even though the Rambam could not understand that shot, because the Rambam didn't agree with the Rav Haigon. So that's a little bit of a problem. So other Rishayim say that the reason for this minhag was very simple, that we're really yotze min ha'Torah. We're yotze before the Asher Yom Yodei Shua, all the tekiyos that we blew before Mosuf, min ha'Torah yotze the covenant basis. We have now didim derabbanan al the ma'aselach said abrachas in the world. That means so for that we're not so machped. For that we're not so careful, and we're worried about teich de tzibur. So you have this line in Rishayim, this idea that well the second kliyas are not so important anyway. We yotzi anyway min haTorah. So it's a little shikol stira. So Rabbeinu Tam couldn't buy into that idea. Rabbeinu Tam said it doesn't make any sense. He said, I understand you want to minimize time and try. I understand tichud tzibur, but what you're blowing makes mamash no sense. Because Rabbi Tam was of the opinion, like the Bali, I tell you, it's not like Rav Haigon, that there's a real suffix. So, Lamaisa, you didn't blow Seder Brachos. At the end of the day, you did not blow Shofar Seder Brachos. You blew one, I'll say the Abracha. You got it, one is right. According to Rabbi Tam, one of them is right. We don't know which one. The other two are wrong. Your mamash, no pun intended, you blew it. Your mamash ruined it. You did not fulfill the mitzvah. That's a good line. I didn't plan it. You did not fulfill the mitzvah to Kishai for Seder Brachos, Bechlal. So Rabbi Tam came up with this Gevaldike Eitzah, Mevdike Eitzah. You know what he said to do? I don't know what Rabbi Tam came up to do. He said, blow Tkiya Shvam Trua Tkiya for Malchias. Blow it again for Zichronis and then for Shofar. You know why? Because Tkiya Shvam Trua has got everything. If you take and eat it. Imtum Tzalom, the real true is a Shvam Trua, you got it. Imtum Tzalom, the real true is a Shvam, you got it. Imtum Tzalom, the real true is a Trua, you got it. Everything's great, everything's wonderful. What's the problem? The Gemara asked, I wanted to do the beginning also. The Gemara asked Akasha and Rabbi Yadol, why don't we go waste that time blowing all three? Why don't we just blow three tashrats? So what did the Gemara say? Because al atzad, that it's really a shvarm, or really it's a truah, then what do you have? You have a hefsik problem. So what did Rabbi Natam Arviach? So Rabbi Natam explains to you that the Gemara never really meant it's a hefsik problem, because it's not really a hefsik problem. The Gemara meant there's one time at Rabbi Yehuda, in the end of the Masechta Sukkah, holds as a problem of hefsik to Yeshua. It's not a good hefsik problem. The whole thing is really good. So for Seder Brachos is good enough. And that was the institution of Rabbi Natam. So Rabbi Natam changed the world, and he said you should blow Tkiya Shvam Trua Tkiya for all three sets. So there were two minhagim floating around in the days of Rishonim as to how to blow. So some Rishonim were blowing like they did back in Bavel. They were blowing tashrats for one, tashrat for the next, tashrat for the third, even though it doesn't seem to really make internal sense. And Rabbi Natam had this other minhag floating around. And then there was a third suggestion that was made in the last couple hundred years that maybe the question is better than the answer. What should we do? Taka, why not? Make people stay in shul a little longer. Let's blow Tkiya Shvam Trua Tkiya for the first, and then again we'll blow Tkiya Shvam Tkiya, then we'll blow Tkiya Trua Tkiya for Malchias. I'll do the same thing for Zichron, the same thing for Shofaros. So that as a peer, that is the standard minhag in 99% of Klal Yisrael today, to blow the way the Rishonim asked the Kasha. The Rishonim asked the Kasha, why aren't we doing this? So the Rambam's turning the head world upside down, Rav Avraham Haigron, and the Rebbe Natan. Everyone's trying to explain why we're not doing this, and then in the last couple hundred years, so the Gedolei Acharonim and Mesachim say, you know what? None of the terutzim really are so good. It makes more sense to do it this way. And that's the way we blow. So, Kach Nogu Yisrael today, to blow in the chumrah the way that we blow for the Seder Abrachas, that the Rishonim, yes, Taka, we should have done all along. So we don't rely on Rav Haigon Shtikul Torah, we don't rely on Rav Benetam Shtikul Torah, we don't rely on any of the Shtikul Torahs. We blow Kedas HaChadin, that we yotz, I people staying in shul for longer, so as I understand shul for longer. So I'll tell you why. Why are we not so worried about Tiflis even the Rishonim more? Very simple. Because there's a later minute Yisrael to blow 100 kolos anyway. So anyway, we're going to blow the extra kolos. So we're going to keep people in shul later. If you keep in shul after davening, you might as well keep in shul during davening anyway. In the days of the Rambam, they didn't blow 100 candles. So in the days of the Rambam, they were counting every second in shul. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have plenty of time. No one's running in it anyway. So different sociological reasons, halachic sociological reasons, why we're not so worried about the Zirkan Tzibur. So the bottom line is this has become the pretty much standard minhag in Yisrael. Anyone know who's still blowing like Bavel? There are a few diehard shuls left in the world that are still blowing like minhag Bavel. You know who they are? One's down the block from here. In Broyers, they still blow that one. So the Yekis, they still blow like they blew in Bavel. I remember when I became the Rav in it was called Kadosh Shuna Paramus. So the shul has transformed over the years. But in my Tkufadiyah, it was the very end of the Yekisha. It was started by a group of people that were lawyers. So I had the schus of being, it was Rabbi Shechter's first Rabbanus. It could be less, also. It was his first Rabbanus. So years later, I took that shul for a couple of years. So I remember when I came there, so I was trying to figure out what I'm going to do. This Kishofer story. They're still blowing me out, though, like the old way, with all the Shilas and all the Svekas and all that. So I remember, I guess, when I really get the time, should I just came to the shul a week ago, you know, should I start to change the minhag? So he said to me, that year was the Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos. I said, hold off, it's only the Rabban anyway this year, so don't change the minhag. The next year was another, it was 2 years in a row, Rosh Hashanah B'Shabbos. But the third year, I was comfortable enough in the shul, I changed the minhag. So I told him, you know what, let's go back to blowing with the rest of the world. So one or two people were upset about it, and the rest of people said, okay, why not, it's a big deal. So I explained to them why Hoshe B'Torah, why the minhag of Bavel doesn't apply anymore, because the whole reason why the Goyim said to blow that way was to save time. But anyway, you're blowing 100 kolos. You have to daven, they blow another 70 kolos. So what time are you saving? The people in shul anyway. Even for us, we're already blowing. You might as well blow a state of brachas. What are you blowing by Inkel and Kenan for? What are you gaining by that? That was my. I gave a whole shiur to explain that. So some people like the shiur, some people didn't like the shiur. But the mice, we changed a minute. Okay, good. Hopefully next week we'll try to figure out how in the world we got to where we are. We only got about half the story done today, so we'll try to figure out the rest of it.